with Dave Bowling in the sterile confines of the University of Phoenix Stadium, which Dave calls the Jiffy Pop Stadium. And we're here about an hour before game time. What do you think, Dave, on this place and today's game?
I don't know why the University of Phoenix needs this stadium, because as far as I know, they don't have a football team. Doesn't that seem like a waste?
It does.
I just don't understand it. It's considered one of the best stadiums, and it just seems kind of antiseptic to me. It is brighter than the old King Dome. You know, that place was a mausoleum. But most of these have a fairly similar feel to it. The thing about this place with the rafters and the retractable roof, it has a feel of Texas Stadium in the Cowboys Stadium, but with a big plastic baggie over the hole in the top. So it's kind of what it looks like and feels like. But I'm not a big fan of it. We've talked about whether heat is an issue in Arizona, even although it's an inside stadium. You know what? It feels hot and muggy in here, and it feels like the air is a little thick. So I think there is an effect on it, even though it is air conditioned.
It's funny because they have this hole in the roof that, like you say, it's like Texas Stadium. But somebody was telling me that I guess they don't open it anymore because some fans on, I don't know what side, that's probably the south side of the stadium, were complaining that the sun's pounding through and pounding them. So now they don't even open it, so it's... You're basically in the kingdom.
I think they do, maybe in November or whatever. But when we were here last year, December 10th or something, it was a gorgeous day outside, and they didn't open it. Anybody who had come to a game to watch the Cardinals and Seahawks at Sun Devil Stadium, that thing was wicked. Aluminum bleachers, people would just cook out there. And there were games when the Seahawks would come in and there wouldn't be 20,000 fans there, because it was just so unbearable in terms of the atmosphere and the quality of the team. So this is a lot better, I think, obviously for the Cardinals, and it's a lot better in some respects also for the teams that are coming in, because it at least feels like an NFL game.
Well, Brock talked about this in the audio that I did with him yesterday, and I guess I didn't realize in watching that game, and I don't know if you watched the San Francisco Arizona Monday night game. I didn't realize that the wind had played such an effect in that game. Obviously not going to play an effect here today. I wonder if Leinart probably has a much better game than he had in that Monday night game.
Yeah, I didn't hear what Brock had to say. The thing about wind is it's not really a problem. It doesn't tend to be, just from what I've heard quarterbacks say, when you're going downfield so much, when you're going into it or with it. It's really an issue when you're thrown to the sidelines and you have those routes and you're going perpendicular to the wind, let's say. That really throws things off. No, there won't be an issue here. And I think, whether it's going to be a question of stopping the run or stopping the pass, there's some obvious mismatches here that everybody notices with Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald going against Trufant and particularly Kelly Jennings, who is obviously a slender guy who can't match up physically against the Cardinal receivers. And even in practice this week that we noticed, I guess we can talk about it now, Logan Payne was doing a scout impersonation of, I think he was Boldin, wasn't he? He was Boldin and somebody else was Fitzgerald, I can't
Jordan recall. Ken was Fitzgerald, yeah.
Jordan Ken, yeah. And Logan Payne beat Logan Payne, not Anquan Boldin, Logan Payne wearing a vest with Bolden's number on it.
Apparently a magical vest.
A magical vest caused him to fly past Kelly Jennings and catch a couple of deep balls that would have been touchdowns. So obviously that's a matchup.
And a day that you weren't out there, the same happened with Larry Fitzgerald. Jordan Kent beat Jennings for a deep ball.
So. Yeah. So, it's not our great insight on this that the Cardinals won't know that that's going to be an issue. Obviously, they're going to try to air it out. I wouldn't be surprised if they did it very early. In Coach Holmgren's Wednesday press conference, the question was asked, you know, how do you set up a defense when you face any team? And he said, you know what, you try to stop their strength. And then in this case, obviously, it's Edgerrin James, and they're committed to trying to run the ball up the middle. He runs hard. They've got a couple of rookies starting on the line. They're going to see what they can do with those guys. Obviously, they've got some talents or they wouldn't be in there. But, you know, the mismatches against the cornerbacks are something we're going to have to see. So some of the Seahawks players this week talked about, you know what, we know what Edgerrin James can do, so we have to defend against that. And that we would rather be in a position of seeing if Matt Leinart can beat us rather than Edgerrin James, because we know he can.
Well, you know what I wonder, too, is defensively at least, we've seen them move the defensive ends inside and then have Julian Peterson slide up. I wonder if, because Arizona is starting a rookie
tackle and a center.
Right. If they're going to slide Kearney to the middle on more than a few occasions, try and get him to rush against those guys to get pressure to line.
Absolutely. And Kearney will be set up against Levi Brown. And Levi Brown was a number 5 pick in the draft. I mean, he's obviously a talent. The center was an undrafted kid. So the way they've done in some of those nickel situations, bringing Kearney inside with Rocky, who is a good pass rusher, and then having Tapp and Peterson at the ends, that's going to create a problem for a lot of offensive lines. Those are four really good, quick guys with really great pass rushing skills. Obviously, that's something they're going to do. And again, that means they can put pressure on a quarterback with four guys. They don't have to blitz. And that allows them to drop 7 into coverage. And in the nickel, you know, that's you've got a lot of guys to match up. So I think that's one area that should be an advantage, that should in a lot of ways counteract some of the physical mismatches that the Cardinals benefit from. On the other end, the Cardinal defense is kind of funky. They run a lot of different stuff, and some of it doesn't even look sound. Some of it just does not seem like it's logical and rational. And Hasselbeck this week said, you know, you look at it, and you almost think at times that they're doing something wrong, that somebody's missing something. Mm-hmm. But it kind of throws off some of the Seahawk reads at times, because it's radical. And historically, Cardinal cornerbacks have been very physical against Seahawk receivers, and what they do is in press coverage they jam them hard, and they've had a lot of success of disrupting their routes, and we'll see again today if that's an issue. And if that is a problem, then of course you rely on Sean Alexander, who's had a history of big games against the Cardinals,
although does have the wrist injury that could affect his ability to hang on to the ball and certainly to catch the ball, which is always an issue anyway.
As I put on the blog this morning, I don't think it will affect his blocking or receiving.
No. How about, were you able to get a sense this week of what Holmgren is going to do, or some ideas of what he might do to get Deion Branch more involved?
Not really. I didn't see enough that would lead me. I saw him make a couple of nice catches. I think it's just a matter of going to it more.
Yeah.
And if a team last week, they doubled him a little bit, they bracketed him a little bit, they kind of set up to shut down Deion. And you know what, teams aren't going to do that every week, but you have to be patient enough to not force it. And some of the passes, I think two of the passes that went to him were kind of forced. It really wasn't there. And they have to understand he's going to have big games and he's going to help them in situations, and other days it's going to be somebody else's ball. So you know, we'll have to see what they do, but that's obviously a position of strength. They've got depth. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how many guys play today. You know, do they go to 4? Do they rotate a full 5? What happens? I haven't seen the inactives yet. So, oh, you got them there?
Yeah.
So Obamanu is inactive.
Charlie Fry, DJ Hackett, Maurice Morris, Babin, Leroy Hill, Mansfield Roto, and Ashworth and Obamon.
You know, with Mo Morris out, I think we could see Alvin Perriman a little bit. He looked pretty good in practice this week. I liked he's a tough little guy. He's not very big, but he does put his nose in there. He will block. He will gain tough yards. He's small enough, it looks like, with some of his tactics almost, are to kind of hide behind offensive linemen and then find a hole and then sneak through it. So it could be fun to see. You know, if he's a guy they basically picked up off the street as a free agent, just how much he can add.
Did you bring the suntan lotion or me?
I have none, but of course, you know, we're inside here, so.
All right. Thank you.